I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit today. The Holy Spirit is a powerful, powerful presentation of God, the Holy Spirit. And there's people talking about spirits in October, Halloween, ghosts, and all that. And so we want you to know that there is a spiritual world out there. There is a world of spirits. Many of them are dark and troubling and scary, but there is a Holy Spirit that is not freaky and weird and kooky. The Holy Spirit is God Himself, and He is making Himself known to us. You know, God is, when you think about God as a whole, our Heavenly Father is hard to wrap our head around. God is all-knowing. God is in all places at all times. And not only is He just like in China right now, in Mexico, and San Marcos, but God is in all time zones, past, present, and future. So God's in the past, God's in the present, God's in the future, all at the same time too. God is outside of space, God is outside of time, and it's hard for us to wrap our finite thinking around an infinite God. But God is infinite. God is so big, so powerful, knows everything, and here we are with our little brain and our little intellect and trying to figure out God. We can't do it. It's just too much. It's too hard to do. And God knows that, and God loves us. And so He makes Himself known to us in two ways. This all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present God makes Himself available to us little dirtballs, people, in a way that's appropriate and won't make us just explode. Because if God were to give us all of Himself, we couldn't contain it. We would just blow up. So God presents Himself to us in two ways. The first one is when God wanted to be reconciled to us. So humanity, sin, falls short of the glory of God, and there was this big chasm between humanity and God. And God wanted to be made known to us, so He came to this earth as Jesus, the Son of God, born of a virgin, and Jesus was born so that we as humans could be reconnected to God. That's awesome. Jesus lived a sinless life. He took on the sins of the world, even though He didn't have to, and He died a really bad death on the cross. The Bible says He nailed our sins to that cross. So now anyone who puts their trust and their faith in what Jesus did on that cross will be saved from their sin. They'll be cleansed. And so God makes Himself known to us through Jesus for the redemption of our soul to be saved and set free. But that's not the only way God makes Himself known to us. He doesn't just set us on a clean slate and leave us there. The second way that He makes Himself known to us after He brings us our salvation is that He breathes the most wonderful breath of all time, the Holy Spirit Himself. And I want to say it like this. He gives us the perfect allotment of Himself. He knows how much we can handle. He knows how much we need of Himself, His Holy Spirit. And so He breathes into us. This is the third week we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. In the first week, we really talked about the Holy Spirit as the wind of God, the breath of God. And if you missed those messages, you can always go to our website and get the back messages if you want to catch up. But that wind of God is made present and known to us. And so here's our prayer. Lord, we trust in Your salvation, not ourself. We'll never be able to be good enough or smart enough or have enough resources to save ourselves. So God, we trust in You, Jesus, that what You did for us was enough. And we now have a relationship with You because of what You've done for us. Thank You, Jesus, for that. Thank You, Jesus, for that. And our second prayer is, Lord, I want You to fill me. I welcome You to fill me with Your Spirit. I need You in my life. I want You to breathe Yourself, just that perfect amount that I need. Breathe it into my life. And so last week I taught you, we know we raise our hands at Promised Land, and some of you may not understand that if you're new to a church like this, but we raise our hands for several reasons. One is we're saying, pick me up, Dad, pick me up, help me. If you ever feel like that, you want to be picked up from your crib, like, come on, change me, I'm a mess. Yeah, you are stinky, all right? You need God to pick you up and help you. And we also do that because it's the international sign of surrender. God, I give up my life to You. I surrender to You. Take over my life. But I introduced a new way last week as a funnel. Lord, fill me up. Lord, fill me. I see that you're breathing out. And so, Lord, I want to catch you. I want you to know that I'm open for you to breathe your spirit into my life and fill me from the inside out, top to bottom, side to side, front to back, every part of me, Lord. And I don't want to just become a reservoir to collect you. I want to be a river, Lord. Come flow through me. Let me be a part of your kingdom, and let me be the salt of the earth and a light that never goes out, and a city that's on a hill bringing refuge to people that are hurt and lonely and detached from me. Lord, I want to. So that's our prayer. Amen. All right. God bless you. That was it. See y'all later. Drop the mic. Dropping the ear mic is not near as dramatic as dropping a ring. That wasn't too bad. I want you to think about your best friend. Who's your best friend? Who's the person that you just can't, you know, wait to get back to, hang out with? Is it her? It's my wife. I love my wife. But I've had many, many good friends over my life. When I think back to high school, I had Jeff Ross and Brandon Montgomery, my best friends in high school, and they live up in Austin. I said, y'all come down. I want y'all to come, and I don't think they're going to make it today, and kind of glad in a way, because if you talk to them about me, I'd have to filter out some of the things that they said, you know, some of the stories in high school, places we went, things we did, but just some really, really good guys, friends of mine that are still friends to this day. We still love to hang out, and they're just really good friends through high school and college and early marriage. And then I think about my own family. My sister is one of my best friends growing up, and I was the younger sibling, and so I was always picking on her, and she loved to read, and so she'd be reading, and I'd be bored, and my parents raised us without television, and so I was bored, and and so she would be reading, and I'd go, you know, mess with her, and but we became friends after that, and and then she married Jacob. Jacob's a wonderful friend of mine, and love hanging out with him and just being around him. My wife is my best friend, and I love saying that. We just liked hanging out together and just living life together, and our family is so strong. Our kid, I love hanging out with our boys. Are getting older now, and we're becoming friends. My parents are some of my best friends. My dad was the best man at my wedding, and so I've been blessed with just so many strong people in my life that are friends. I want to hang out with them, and if you can have one or two friends like that, that's amazing, right? That you just love to be around. You can talk to them. You can hang out with them, share problems with it, and they're not going to judge you or be mad at you, but they'll help you, or maybe they will say, hey, I mean, like yesterday, Lori was digging in my nose. I had a flake hanging out, and she was like, hey, you got a flake. That's a friend, right? That's a friend. You need somebody to dig flakes every once in a while. I was like, I can't get it. Can you help me? Yes. So it reminds me of Peter and John and Jesus. Those three were the tightest. Peter, John, and Jesus were the tightest of the three. And Jesus and Peter and John hung out. And we see this time after time in the Bible. They were so tight. Jesus went up to them first and said, hey, come with me, guys. Follow me. They dropped their nets. They dropped their family business. They abandoned all that and followed Jesus. And they went on a tour for 3 years. They did everything together. They ate together. They went in and out of communities and people's homes. And the disciples had a front row seat on Jesus's ministry and his miracles. So they saw blinded eyes open. They were hanging out at a wedding. Jesus liked to party with his friends. And so he was at a wedding, had no intent to do any sort of ministry at all. He was just hanging out at a wedding. That's how Jesus was, hanging out. And then it was his mom that was like, no, it's time. The time has come for you to step out into the public. And so they saw all that. And then they would be at this teaching moment. Jesus would teach. We went to Israel a few years ago, and we saw the place where he spoke to 20,000 people at once on the hillside. And just, you could see the acoustics and hear the acoustics of him being able to speak and teach to 20,000 people. And then all the people got hungry, and so he made a miracle and fed them all. And then the disciples got to go with him after. They snuck out the back door, snuck out behind the back rock or whatever you want to call it, and they went out the back, and then they would be able to ask Jesus. They'd have a private Q&A with Jesus after each one of these big sermons, and they'd say, Jesus, when you were talking about putting seeds in different soil? What did you mean by that? And so he was like, man, you guys, you're dumb. But anyway, let me tell you what. And so he would give them behind the scene message about what his parables meant. So, you know, that one soil, the thorny soil, that's kind of like your heart, and the rocky soil and the thin soil. And then some of y'all have, so he would explain to them, man, just so valuable, the information. And so they just built up with them this bond, this tightness between them and Jesus. And then it came time for him to send them out. So there were 70 of them at this point, and he sent two out over here and two out over there. And he gave them instructions and said, I want you to go to a house. I want you to knock on the door, see if they'll let you in. If they let you in, go in. Eat with them, hang out with them, teach them, spend the night with them, let them feed you. If they reject you, just dust off the dust from your shoes, go to the next house. And he taught them how to go out and minister and teach and all that. And so they went out, and then they came back, and it was time for feedback time. And Jesus said, well, how'd it go? And they said, well, some houses it went good, but then there was these other houses, it didn't work. What do you mean it didn't work? Well, we prayed for them and nothing happened. And so they got this feedback. Well, Jesus said, well, the reason it didn't work is you didn't fast and pray. And these things are bigger things. They only come out through prayer and fasting. So just an amazing time that they could sit with Jesus and he would teach them. And sometimes he did get, you know, frustrated with them. Oh, ye of little faith, I've been here 3 years. We talked about this already. And he would go and, you know, but he had patience with them and loved them. And then he washed their feet and serve them and love them. And then I want you to read this text. It's John 16:7. We'll have it up on the screen. Jesus says, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, which means it's good, expedient, or advantageous for you, that I go away. Just stop for a second, and I want you to let that soak in. After all these years, after they did all this, they left their family, they left their job, they laid everything down. He said this, I'm telling you nothing but the truth. I say it's profitable. We want our life to be profitable. We want our life to be good, right? We want it to be expedient and advantageous. He's saying, if you want it to be profitable, then I have to leave you. I want you to think about what they were thinking when he said that. Are you serious? We have done everything. In fact, at one point he said, you have to leave your father and mother and follow me. You have to give everything up and follow me. And we did that. We've been faithful. We've done everything you've said. We followed. We did everything you asked. And now you're saying you're going to leave us? He says, because if I do not go away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, which is the Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Strengthener, the one who will stand by you. If I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. Will not come to you. Be in close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. To be in close fellowship with you. This is the Amplified Version of the Bible. It gives you those parentheses with all those expounded descriptions of those words. But this is what Jesus is saying. I have to go away. If I do not go away, then the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that's the word used there. The Holy Spirit, the original Greek word there is parakletos, which I'll talk to you about in a second. But that's a helper. If I don't leave, the helper won't be with you. I want you to think about this for a second. We're here today in San Marcos, Texas, 8,000 miles away from where this conversation happened, 2,000 years later, because Jesus left them. But he didn't leave them alone. He sent his Spirit to be in them. As long as he was here in the flesh, they would always be looking to him to be in charge and to do everything. But as soon as he left, now all of a sudden, they're the ones it's up to. We're the leaders. We're the church leaders. We can't rely on Jesus in the flesh anymore. Now we're going to be filled with Jesus' Holy Spirit inside of us. And so I told you this story. I want you to understand that this was a big deal to them, that they had relied on Jesus' physical presence in their life for 3 years and just come to know him, come to love him, and rely on him physically in their midst. And now Jesus is making this huge declaration to them. I am leaving you. I'm no longer going to be with you in the flesh. And this is what Jesus knew with deep conviction. The one who's coming after me is going to be better for you than me being with you in the flesh. Man, that's a huge statement. Jesus deeply felt that. And I want you to think about when you're raising kids, right? And you've done everything you can to raise those kids, and it's time for those kids to get out of the nest, and you know it's transition time, and you're ready to get them out of the nest, and it's time. It's time. So this is what's happening. Jesus knows it's time for them to spread their wings and fly in the path that God's called them to fly in. And as long as he's there, he's sheltering them. He's not allowing them to be at their full potential. Not having Jesus physically with them, but being filled with the Holy Spirit was better. Not having Jesus there physically, but being filled with the Spirit was even better. And so obviously, you and I are not used to having Jesus with us in the present, right? We're not used to having Jesus sitting on the front row or sitting up here teaching you. We're not used to that. And so it's not a big jump for us to know that we have to live without Jesus present in front of us. It's not a big jump for us. However, there's so many people who believe in Jesus that do not embrace or welcome the Holy Spirit to live in their life. And so if you have come to know Jesus and you've trusted him for your salvation, I want to make sure you know that God doesn't want to leave you just at that place of faith and trust by yourself without Jesus being there in person. Instead, you get the same promise that he gave to those disciples, that he's going to now fill you with the Holy Spirit, and he's going to empower you to lead a life that he's called you and created you to live. He's called you for a purpose and a plan in your life, and he wants to fill you with the power in order to walk that out. You're never expected to follow after Jesus without having the Holy Spirit in your body as a helper, as a comforter. And so this is our prayer. Lord, forgive me of my sin. I trust in you, Jesus, as my Savior. I surrender my heart to you. Now I make myself a funnel. Fill me with your Spirit. Baptize me with your Spirit. Lord, I need you in my heart. I need you in my life. You see, and so it is been beat up a little bit, but then God comes into our life, and we pray that prayer and say, Jesus, I trust in you. Take my car, take my old car, and make it like he just invented us. It's our original intent, the original person he created us to be before the devil contaminated us. So here we are. We're turned on. We are listening to God. And then this is God's intent, not just for us to stay put, but for us to say, Lord God, fill me with the power of your Spirit, Lord, and help me start moving in the way that you want me to move, God. Come on, Lord. Help me move in the way that I'm supposed to go. Yeah, ready for act. Okay, hang on, God. Hang on. It's amazing to me how many of us try to do this on our own or try to figure this out on our own. I wish I could get in this car and demonstrate the fullness of the application. I wish I could demonstrate it to you, but if I got on this car, it wouldn't work in the next service because I'd break it. But here's the point. God is to be the driver, and God is to be the one bringing the signals to you. So though he's not physically in the car with us, because Jesus is not with us physically, he is sending us signals. He's sending us direction to know how to go and where to go. Y'all follow me? Okay, yeah. And so sometimes we get into a place in life, we go forward, and then we get all the way over here, a little bit further, right there. And the Holy Spirit knows we're at the edge, and the Holy Spirit will go, hang on, Robin, you need to back up. You need to back up a little bit, because you're about to get off the edge and you need to go back the other direction. And so that's what the Holy Spirit is a helper. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. The Holy Spirit is a corrector. We need a helper in our life, don't we? We looked at so many other places, things, people, all this to help us, but this is God's original design, for him to save us from our sin, for him to help us be renewed and restored and saved, but then for us to get on the path that he's called us to live. And you can't do it on your own. You can't learn enough, you can't earn enough, you can't go to the get enough degrees or whatever to figure out how to master your life. I don't know if you've ever read the autobiography of Ben Franklin, but he, all right, we had to read that in school, and he created this graph or this chart of how to live a perfect life. And every day his intent was to make fewer and fewer mistakes. And he had all these check boxes and all these ways to make himself more moral and more smarter and not make mistakes. And I'm going to tell you, if you try to do that, if you try to just chart your life and figure out your life, you're not going to make it. If you're looking to the things of this world to be your helper, some people look to money and think, if I can just make enough money, that's what I need to help me get on the right path. But how many know you can make all the money in the world and get on the wrong path? Or that money can take you down the wrong path. I know some of you may have bought a lottery ticket this week. Oh yeah, you've come to the right place. Pain, try to get away from the bad thoughts and the heaviness of life and the depression and the loneliness. So they go to substance. They go to some sort of chemical, some sort of pill, some sort of drink, some sort of inhaling something or whatever in order to get them past. That's their helper. And as long as we're seeking after things like that, all of these things, relationships, marriage, sex, money, all of them are going to provide relief in the short term, but they're not long-term satisfaction. They're not long-term wholeness. They're not. Jesus said when he was talking to the woman at the well who was searching after relationship after relationship after relationship, he says, if you keep drinking from that well, you will always be thirsty. But when you drink from the well of the Holy Spirit, if you drink from what I have to give you, you will never thirst again. And that's what he's offering everybody in here today. If you drink from the well that I have to offer you, you will never be thirsty again. And I just hope everybody grasps this concept. God didn't save you just to sit you on a pew or a chair. God didn't save you just to be a model or just some sort of figure that people say, look at this. No, he saved you so he could fill you with his power, his spirit, so that you could be. I want you to think about how he activated those disciples and the fact that we're here today because of what the disciples did after Jesus left them. They went to the world. They went to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I mean, Paul went, was shipwrecked, and went all kinds of adventures. Peter and John and Thomas, they went to all these different places. They went to India and Africa and Asia and Europe. They spread the gospel that Jesus gave to them, but as Jesus left them and filled them with the Spirit, then they became activated and they reached the world. Now we're here today. I want you to think about what would happen if everybody at Promised Land and San Marcos and everybody in Lockhart and everybody watching online today gave their heart to Jesus, was filled with the power of his Holy Ghost, and then began to work and move and walk along the path that he's called us to. We're all activated to be Jesus. Think what would happen in our culture. Think what would happen in our world. Think what would happen in your own household, right? And your own situation, and how that's going to have a ripple effect across the whole world today. So that word was parakletos, which means a helper, an intercessor, an assistant, one who pleads the cause of another before a judge. And when I think about the Holy Spirit, and if it was personified in a person to this day and time, it would be my grandmother. And my sister family's here this weekend, Jacob's here and all them, because we celebrated her 100th birthday this week. She turned 100 on Thursday. And just an incredible, incredible woman. She's going to be here at the next service to see her great-granddaughter be baptized here at Promised Land. But when I think about, I call her Mimi. When I think about Mimi, Catherine Turnell, she is a helper. She is an advocate. She personifies the Holy Spirit in so many ways because the Holy Spirit's living in her life. And she, I'm going to tell you what, she was born 1918, and so she's seen every, you know, thing from here to there, the Depression, World War, that, you know, she saw Hitler come in and all the World War II mess and all that, and then, you know, Vietnam and all the stuff that's going on. And then our own family life, you know, people in the family that did things that weren't right, and, you know, cousins and uncles and all the stuff. Just think about all the pain, all the struggle, and all the things that have happened over 100 years in someone's life. And yet she's going to come, and you're going to talk to her, you're going to shake her hand, and she's going to look at you, and you're going to go, wow, you're so awesome. You're the sweetest person I've ever met. You're the most loving person I've ever met. And how could that be? Because the power of the Holy Spirit is living in her life, and she's reflecting it. It's coming out of her. And as a result, she's an image of God. She's an image of the Spirit that's living inside of her. And so we don't honor her as like, wow, Catherine, you're somebody special that you must have just been born a weirdo, a stranger. Like, how can you be so good? No, she's that way because she surrendered her heart to Jesus. And God's being reflected in her life, and she's allowing herself to be a vessel for the Holy Spirit to flow through their life. And so whenever, it's the same thing I said week one, when Erica and I, we go into different scenarios and people tell us, you know, you're a special person, you have a special needs child, and God would never just give that child to someone that's not special. You must be special people. We tell them, no, we're not. We're not. We're just like you are. But once he gave us or allowed this situation to happen, then he empowered us to do it. And so we are doing it, and we do have a great marriage, and we do love our family, we do love our daughter, we do love our kids, and we have a wonderful family. But it's not because we're good people from the get-go. We're just like you are. But God has filled us with his Spirit. God has filled us with his Spirit. And I want to encourage you, we sang that song, whatever mountain's in your way, the mountain can never contain or block someone filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. God's either going to move that mountain, or he's going to give you the power to hike over that mountain and then look back at that mountain and go, yeah, that's all you got. Right? We need the real helper in our life. Look at, I want us to close with this verse, Acts 8:14, and I want to reiterate this whole series. I want to reiterate how we receive the Spirit. And when we look at the book of Acts, we see it over and over and over and over. If you've never read the book of Acts, read it. It's a great novel. It's a great book. Just out of entertainment purposes. I mean, there's so much action happening in the book of Acts. But the good news is that it's an actual true story. And the promises in the book of Acts are still alive today. And so we see it time after time after time. The leaders would go into a community, a new community. And the first thing they want to make sure is, do you know Jesus? Do you know who he was? Do you know what he did for you? And they would, it's interesting. It's so cool to see how each community, they present it a different way so that they would understand it. So in one community, they had an unknown God. Okay, you have this unknown God? Let me tell you about the known God. They would just find ways to communicate the gospel unique to each culture. And so they would talk to them about Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Sometimes they already knew about Jesus. Okay, well, have you been baptized yet? Well, if you haven't been baptized, we want to baptize you today into the name of Jesus Christ, into the fullness of who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We want to baptize you in to Christ. And then they would say, after they've been baptized, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Well, we hadn't even heard about the Holy Spirit. Well, you need to be filled. Let's pray right now that God's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And so that's really, let's read Acts 8:14 is a great example. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria, which was like their family sort of, that they didn't like. Anybody got family like that? distant cousins, they're like, Samaria. But they love Jesus, so they heard, hey, the people in Samaria have heard about God's message. So they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to do what? To receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had been baptized. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had been water baptized, but they hadn't received the Spirit baptism. So then it says, then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers and they received the Holy Spirit. And so I want to encourage you today, let's just follow what the Bible says. If you have not received Jesus in your heart, then let's start right there. Let's start with that today, right now. And this doesn't have to be like a year-long process. You can receive Jesus in your heart right now and ask him to forgive you every sin. You can be baptized today. We have clothes, we have towels, we have cameras, we have pastor, we have warm water. It's clean. We have hair dryers and underwear and deodorant and all that's brand new. No one's used it. You can take it all home. We don't want it back. We'll baptize you today. That's how we roll at Promise Land. We're not going to let anything get in the way. If you want to be baptized today, get baptized. You don't have to go through a class. You don't have to get certified to get baptized. You tell us, I love Jesus. I want to be in his family. We're going to take your word for it. That's between you and God. Let's do it today. But if you've been baptized, you've received Jesus, and you've stopped there, maybe you didn't understand that there was more for you, I want you to start praying, God, fill me with your Spirit. And I want you to know that in the Bible, in Colossians, it talks about a continual feeling. Like, this is not like I got filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 12 and I'm good. Well, that is good. That's awesome. I don't want to take anything away from that. But I'm going to tell you what, the devil's knocking down your door every day, every second of every day. And so my prayer is, Lord, today, here's my funnel. Fill me up, Jesus. Let it come, Lord Jesus. I want to be filled with your Spirit. And I'll pray with people today. I'll lay my hands on you just like they did in the book of Acts. And I'll anoint you with oil and I'll pray for you today to receive the power of the Holy Spirit if that's what you want. But I want to encourage you, don't just do that. Pray for it tomorrow. Pray for it the next day. Pray when you're driving to work. Put on some worship music. Just begin to worship God. Say, Lord, fill this car with your Spirit. Fill this body with your Spirit. Fill this mind with your Spirit. Fill this heart with your Spirit. Lord, you gave me a spirit, and it's been broken, and it's been hungry, and it's been deprived all these years. Lord, I want my spirit to be connected to your Holy Spirit. God, as I go to work today, if I go to Texas State, if I'm at McCoy's business building, or if I'm in Flowers Hall, or I'm at Old Main, where, Lord, fill me wherever I am with your Spirit. At high school, at junior high, at home, in the neighborhood, Lord, let me be filled with you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would you pray with me? Let's talk to him right now. And let's just give our heart to him right now. Would you join with me and just say, God, please forgive me of my sin. I want to live with you. I want to live for you. God, I don't want you to just come in and be a part of my life, Lord. I want to get wherever you are. I want to get on what you're doing, God. I want to live a life for you. Come on, let's talk to him just in our own words. You can say the words I'm saying, or you can repeat after me, or you can say your own words. But let's go to God in our own way and say, Lord, I want to live for you, Lord. Please forgive me of my sin. Anything in my life that's not of you. Anything in my life that's not of you, please forgive me. Please help me. Please strengthen me. I trust in you, Jesus, as my Savior. I trust in what you did for me, Jesus, to save me from my sin. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in my heart today, and now I'm confessing with my mouth. I believe in you, Lord, and I trust in you, and I'm calling out to you, God. But Lord, I don't want to stop there. I want you to fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I welcome you to baptize me from the top of my head to the sole of my feet, from my right to my left, to my front to my back. Lord, all of me, my past, my present, my future, fill me, Lord. Be a part of me, Lord. I welcome you. I welcome you to be with me, Holy Spirit. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to respect what you have to say, God. I'm ready. I'm ready for this new season of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you shout amen with me this morning? Amen. 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 Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.